Got a Bible, it'd be really helpful if you could open it up. Either open it up, you've got a paper one, or switch it on if you've got electronic, or nosy in beside somebody. Or if you don't have a Bible with you, just listen as we read God's Word. We're going to read from the New Testament. We're going to read from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. So the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll commence to read in a few moments from verse 36. So Acts 2, commencing to read at verse 36. Let's listen to God's word. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. So what's baptism all about? As I look around here this morning, there's some people I'm not familiar with. You may be friends of Benjamin, who's getting baptized later. You may have just drifted into our church. This is the first Sunday you're here with lots of children. As Fiona said, Norma, at this time you've escaped. You've escaped through those doors at the back, and you're off to our sports hall for CB Kids Sunday. And you might be sitting here this morning thinking, what is baptism all about? You might be able to see it at the moment. There's a pool of water, quite deep water here at the front. Don't worry, when it comes to the baptism, you will see it. We will put it up on the screen, so you won't miss anything this morning. But baptism to you this morning might look and seem like a very strange thing. Because not in a very long time, Benjamin's going to come down into this water, and he's going to get wet wearing his clothes. And that seems like a very odd thing. In fact, when one of my daughters was younger, and she used to come to baptismal services here in church, that was her question she always asked. Why does Daddy have a bath in his clothes? And it just seemed a bit strange, and it seemed a little bit odd. Maybe this morning, baptism doesn't make a lot of sense. So what is baptism all about? Well, this is what baptism is all about. It's all about Jesus. That's what baptism's all about. It's all about Jesus. We talk a lot about Jesus here, Jesus Christ here in this church. You may have picked that up already this morning in our opening prayer, in my opening comments. As Fiona read that passage from Colossians, it was all about Jesus. Who he is, why he came. We've sung a number of songs here this morning. Who have our songs focused on? It's all about Jesus. And it's all about the gospel. And that's a word you might have heard, and you maybe don't know what that word means, gospel. The word gospel really means good news. And that's what we come here on a Sunday to sing about and to talk about, the gospel, the good news, which is all about Jesus Christ. Now, if we share with you good news, there must be the opposite of that. That makes sense. If there's good news, there must be bad news. And the Bible tells us that as well. The Bible tells us all that we need to know about this life and our spiritual lives and about Christ and the gospel. And the Bible actually tells us the bad news as well. The Bible starts off with God creating the world that was perfect, about human beings who had a perfect relationship with God, but sadly it didn't last long. You don't have to flick too many pages through into the Bible to discover where things go spectacularly wrong, where human beings start to rebel against God. They rebel against God's word and his instructions for them, and the Bible calls it sin. Sin comes into the world, and things are messed up. And that's the bad news of the Bible. In fact, the book of Romans tells us that all of us have sinned. None of us are perfect. Benjamin's going to get baptized later. He's not perfect. Far from it. His mom's sitting in the front row, and she could probably tell me that. And I'm not perfect, and my wife's sitting a few rows back, and she'll tell you I'm far from perfect. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. And actually, that word sin, as we find it in the Bible, if you take that word, what that word literally means is missing the mark. Well, you imagine there's a target over here, and I've got a bow and arrow, and I take my bow and arrow, and I'm aiming at the target. Well, if I miss the target, I have missed the mark. And really, that's what sin is. We have God's perfect standards, God's word of how he wants us to live our lives. And even if we're doing really well, all of us, if we're honest, we have missed the mark. But here's the reality of it. Here's the brutal reality. It's not that we're aiming at this target over here and we've just missed the mark by that amount. Do you know what we're actually doing in our lives? We turn our back on God. We turn our back in rebellion. We're not even aiming the right direction. If God's perfect standards are over there, we're aiming this direction. We've missed the mark spectacularly. And you might be sitting here this morning and think, well, I'm not that bad. See the person sitting beside me, I'm much better than them. And the people I live in the house with, I'm better than those people. And maybe the people I go to school with or uni or the people I live with, I'm better than them. That might be true, and it probably is true. But the reality, against God's perfect, holy standards, we have all missed the mark spectacularly. We're aiming in the wrong direction. That's the bad news. The Bible doesn't leave it there. The Bible is a book of hope. The Bible is a book of this incredible message. The greatest message the world has ever heard about the greatest person, Jesus Christ. The one who was God himself, as Fiona read in our opening passage from the book Colossians. And the God himself who loved us, even though we had rebelled against him, disobeyed him, missed the mark spectacularly, he loved us, and he loved us so much that he actually came into this world, took on the form of a human body, with the purpose of going to a cross. And there on the cross, dying an agonizing death, suffering brutal pain. Why? Because he loves us. People have rebelled against him. He loves us, and he loved us so much that he died on the cross, taking the punishment, not for the wrong things he had done, he was perfect, but for the wrong things that Benjamin had done, that I have done, that we all have done. And he rose again, the Bible says, 3 days later. He's a living Savior, because a dead person is no good to you. He rose again, and he offers us forgiveness. And that's the incredible message. That's the incredible gospel message of the Bible, that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for our sins, rose again, and offers us this forgiveness that we don't deserve, but he offers it freely to us through his love and his grace and his mercy. And so church is all about Jesus Christ. That's who we want to focus on. Jesus is the reason we meet. He's the one we talk about. He's the one we pray through. He's the one we sing our songs about. And so we talk a lot about Jesus. One of the things we also do in church is we show the gospel. We show the gospel in these incredible visual aids that Jesus instructed us to continue with. We have two ordinances here that we follow in this church. One is communion, and the other one is baptism. Communion, or Lord's table, Lord's supper, has different names. It's something we'll be observing tonight. We, in this church, we do it every Sunday. We'll be observing it in our evening service, where we eat bread and we drink wine. And it's a great visual aid. A great visual aid that reminds us of what Jesus Christ did for us. Communion is all about Jesus. As we eat the bread, it reminds us of Christ's body that hung on a cross for us. As we drink the wine, it reminds us of his blood that was shed because he loved us. And so when we take communion tonight, it's all about Jesus. That's one of the ordinances. The other one is one we're going to observe this morning, and it's baptism. And baptism is all about Jesus. It's another visual aid. And later on, when Benjamin goes into this water, and I have been warned, the heating hasn't quite worked. It will be a little cool this morning, but you will be able to cope with that, Benjamin. As he goes in there, we will be acting out as such another visual aid of the gospel. As Benjamin goes underneath the water and then rises up again. It's a great, great picture of Christ's death, being put to death, his burial going under the water, and then rising again to new life. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. You see, baptism makes absolutely no sense without Jesus. If you take Jesus out of this, You're just going to get wet with your clothes on, and that's a bit sad to do in front of several hundred people on a Sunday morning. But when you put it into the context of what Jesus Christ did for us, and we identify with him in his death and his burial and resurrection, it's this glorious visually, this glorious picture of the gospel. But why do people like Benjamin, want to get baptized? Well, one of the words that describes it is obedience. That's what Jesus instructed his disciples to do. After Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he gathered his followers. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Preach this good news about my death, burial, resurrection, and the forgiveness, the salvation that can be people through trusting me. Go and preach this great message. And when people respond to this message, baptize them. And that's what the early church did. We read a little bit about it here this morning from Acts 2. This passage, Acts 2, is one of the key passages at the start of the early church, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come upon the apostles. And when the Holy Spirit comes across Peter, what does he do? He goes out and he starts to preach. Does he talk about himself? No, he shares the good news all about Jesus. He tells people about Jesus' death, why he died, about his burial, about his resurrection. And people heard this message. Thousands and thousands of people heard him share this good news. And we pick it up in verse 37, and they ask this question. It says, they were cut to the heart. They just didn't hear it and go, that sounds interesting. Go in one ear, out the other. No, this message, this good news message, cut them to the heart. It struck a chord with them. And they asked a great question. It said in verse 37, what shall we do? You've told us this, what Jesus has done for us. What shall we do? And here is Peter's reply, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and then be baptized. Let me unpack that because there may be some words that you just don't really grasp. There's the word repent there. The word repent really means to have a complete change of heart. It means literally do a U-turn. A U-turn in the way we're living. So in our life, we're heading this way. We're maybe heading against God in rebellion to him. And we repent, we do a U-turn. And we head in the right direction. Remember that missing the mark, right? Shooting in the wrong direction? Repentance means making a complete U-turn. Turning to Christ and trusting him. And then following him afterwards. That's what repentance means. So Peter said, repent and then be baptized. Baptized is really the public way of declaring that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Baptism is when your faith goes public. It's like nailing your colors to the mast. This is the most important thing that's happened in my life. This is a life-changing thing that's happened. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've repented. I've turned from the way I've been living in rebellion to God. I'm now trusting him, and I want people to know. This is where your faith goes public. When you let people know, this is the most important thing in your life. Now, there is nothing magical in this water that fills this tank here. This water in the tank just came from a normal tap that feeds water around all our church. It's the same water we would use to wash our hands. There is nothing magical in this water. And from Benjamin going into this water this morning, this will not make him a Christian. Okay? This is not the start of his Christian faith. Okay? What he's actually doing this morning is he is publicly declaring that this is something that has already happened. That he has repented, he's turned from his sin, and he has already trusted Jesus Christ. This is the outward declaration of what has already happened internally. It's a bit like this wedding ring that I'm wearing. This wedding ring was given to me by my wife Joanne about 17 years ago. And we swapped rings on our wedding day. And really this wedding ring is a public declaration to let people know that I am married, that I have made a commitment to somebody else. But really, what is this? It's just an outward sign of an inward commitment, of my love and commitment to Joanne. This really is just a piece of metal, quite an expensive piece of metal, probably the most expensive piece of metal I've bought for myself, but that's all it is. It's an outward sign of an inward reality. And that's what baptism is. It's this outward sign of an inward commitment. And in baptism, people are also identifying with Jesus Christ. And so later on, Benjamin will identify with his Savior, Jesus Christ, in three ways. He'll identify with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because Benjamin will come into the water with me, and we will start to push him backwards, down into the water, a symbol of death, identifying with Christ in his death, and also identifying with putting his old life to death. And then he will go under the water, identifying with Christ in his burial. And you can be thankful, Benjamin, that will not be the end. We will bring you back up. Because it's not the end of the story. Christ did not stay in the tomb. He rose again. And as Benjamin comes out of the water this morning, he will identify with Christ's resurrection, new life, that he's raised to walk in this newness of life that his Savior Jesus Christ has given him. Because baptism is all about Jesus Christ. Christians want to identify with their Savior. And in Acts 2, this passage we read, 3,000 people heard this message. They were cut to the heart. They were challenged by it. They asked, what should we do? And they responded to the message. It says they repented. They turned from the way they were living their life, their sinful way, and they turned to Jesus Christ. They repented. They believed the gospel, and they responded to it. And what happened next? Immediately they were baptized. This public declaration. They nailed their colors to the mast and declared their faith in Jesus Christ. And was that the end of it? They just walked away after that, got baptized? No. As we read on down through that passage, they identified with the local church, because that's God's plan also for Christians, not to leave us as individuals, but we'd be connected to a local church. They were devoted to the teaching, to breaking the bread, or of having fellowship with other people, communion there as well, praying together. So we read on through this passage, they helped one another in need because they had a care for their brothers and sisters in Christ, and together they were praising God. You see, repentance is individual. It's something that each one of us needs to do. Baptism is individual. Okay, Benjamin's coming into the water on his own. His family aren't coming to join him here. It's an individual thing. But God doesn't leave us as individuals. His plan is us to be connected to a local church, to be devoted to it, and so that we can grow and mature in our faith. And that is our hope and our prayer for you, Benjamin. This will just be a one-off experience. You get baptized, we never see you again, but you will be fully devoted and committed to this local church.